Well, wasn't that an awesome baptism service? As I said earlier on, do continue to pray for them and encourage them. This is something we should be doing for everyone, isn't that right? I want to conclude today's service just by bringing a few brief thoughts centered around Nehemiah chapter 11. A story about four people in a church whose names were everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. I'm wondering where is he going with this? Well, the church had financial responsibilities, loads of things to do, opportunities galore, and everybody was asked to help. Everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but you know who did it? It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Then the church grounds needed some work and somebody was asked to help, but somebody got angry about that because anybody could have done it just as well, and after all, it really was everybody's job. In the end, the work was given to nobody, and well, nobody did a fine job. On and on this went. Whenever work was to be done, a meal cooked for somebody, anybody, and everybody, a prayer to be prayed, nobody could always be counted on. Nobody visited the sick, nobody gave generously, nobody shared his faith. In short, nobody was a very faithful member. Finally, the day came when somebody left the church and took anybody and everybody with him. Guess who was left? You guys catch on quick. So we've been working our way through the book of Nehemiah, and this morning we've landed on chapter 11. And like a few of the other chapters, chapter 11 consists largely of lists of names. And however, there's a little more than just a list of names going on here. And the main point I want to emphasize today is actually in today's title. We all bring something. We bring a prayer, a gift, an encouragement. We bring our time. We don't want to be the faithful nobody. We don't want to be the faithful nobody. Let me read a few verses and then I'll just make a few concluding comments. Nehemiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem. The rest of the people cast lots to bring one out of every 10 of them to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their own towns. And the people commended all who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. And the scripture goes on to list names of those who came into the city, including what for many their roles were, where they served, and those who settled in the outlying areas of Judah, that is around Jerusalem. Now, what these verses show us, along with the rest of chapter 11, is what is required for effective community. That's the first thing. And secondly, that God works through willing people. Even more specifically, it points to one key spiritual lesson, serving. Not unlike the commitment of those who have been baptized today in what is a selfless commitment, serving is a decision and a way of life that puts what God wants ahead of what I want. Nehemiah wanted the people to see that in order to restore the city to its proper glory, a willingness to serve God was required. And when we consider the story, at this point, the wall was built, the city was safe from physical threat, yet so few people were willing to leave the comfort of their lands and houses and actually come back into the city of Jerusalem where all of the action was at. What was the problem? They had a great city. Everything was there, all set and ready, but no people to come and be a part of the city, for it to be the vibrant, God-honoring city that Nehemiah, and more importantly, God, wanted it to be. The equivalent today is that we can have all of our fine premises and facilities, but low-level willingness. We can have nobody. We can have the foresight and the incentive to do something with it, but risk doing nothing with it if our focus is incorrect. So in these few verses here, notwithstanding the balance of the chapter, there's three different movements of people in the scripture. And do read the whole chapter for yourselves. Three different movements. leaders who settled in Jerusalem, a call for a portion, 10% of the people to come into the city, and the third group of those who volunteered, putting self aside, overcoming their reluctance to come from the surrounding countryside into the city. This was the group that said, we're not going to do this because we must. We're going to do this because we're willing. I don't have to, but I will. And for this group, the NIV at very least uses the word commended. Did you note that in verse 2? But I think the better word, doing a little bit of research around that word commended, the better word there is blessed. The people blessed those who volunteered. Kind of like a spiritual high fives, good on you, mate, for doing that. Because they recognized and understood the importance of what was required there. Just a slight pause on that for now. Murray, you're looking worried. Don't be worried. Slight pause there for now. So you remember a few weeks ago we instituted a new component into our service, the Be Encouraged Award. Do you all remember who received last month's box of chocolates? Val. Well, I'm going to pause there and we're going to do that right now. We're going to do that again. Now I want to give the Be Encouraged Award to someone who's been a faithful servant in the life of this church for quite some time, involved in leadership, often helping out at the Monday lunch, and not just serving here in the life of this church as well, serving in other activities outside the life of this church. Remember, we've talked a lot about encouraging and not tearing down, because I want us to be a church that encourages and builds up and talks great and positive and energetic things into each other's lives. Yeah? So can we join together today and honour Derek Greenfield? Come on up, Derek. Yes, I did say your name. God bless you. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Appreciate all your hard work. Wonderful servant of God. Praise God. Isn't that great? Back to where we were. So across those three groups that I mentioned before, we had leaders, people for public relations, musicians, all sorts of people filling all sorts of roles and skills that needed willing people for the community to be what it needed to be to function effectively. And look, while our situation here at Fairfield Baptist Church is different, but like Jerusalem then, our needs are immense. There are plenty of things to be done where we need willing people to serve in leadership and ministry and all sorts of things. Here's what I want to say on the back of that comment. So much gifting and ability in this room right now. I marvel at what God is doing and what God is going to do in you and through you. So many of you serving faithfully, like Derek, well beyond boundaries of comfort. And yet some holding back. Some holding back. You know, there's no end of scriptural basis to support the fact that we should or ought to serve willingly. But why would we want to? Why we would choose willingly to serve, and where my value is serve, where my central attitude is serve, is because we want to honor God. It's because we want to respond to what He has done for us in the person of Jesus. That's the only reason we need to serve willingly and faithfully. You see, we can only give and give away in serving what we have first received. Do you understand that? We can only give away. I can only give out of what I have first received. So what have we received, if that is true? What have we received? Well, we've received everything we need in the person of Jesus. Would you agree with that? So with how much of our lives then should we serve if that is true indeed? Everything we have because of Jesus. Simple really, eh? Nothing ought to get in the way. In this conversation about serving, I'm not talking about volume. That is the amount of stuff we might or might not do. Because I could be doing a lot supposedly for God, but with a really stink attitude. I'm talking about the motivation and intent of our heart, our willingness born out of a desire to please God. You might say, well, serving's not my thing, Ross. Serving's not my thing. I want to say to you candidly this morning, and if that's us, then we have missed the enormity of Jesus' life and sacrifice for us. Because when that hits us, when I get what Jesus has done for me, I want to do nothing else but serve him. I want to do nothing else but love him and honor him with my life. Because I get what he's done for me, that depth of sacrifice. Nehemiah had a city with few willing people. Everybody was certain that somebody would do it, but nobody did. We have a city and a community that needs willing people. And I believe God is honored by willing to serve him people. Scripture says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. John chapter 12. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. We've talked a few weeks ago about being an important and necessary part of the work. And as we see from today's scripture, serving is for all. There are no exemptions. There is no exclusivity. There is something for us all to be and do to be a healthy, fully functioning community of faith. Never depreciate or underestimate the impact or significance of our work in serving God and others. God sees who we are and what we can offer. Let us not be limited by what we think we can't do, because that's where humanly we go. Let us not be limited by what we think we can't do, but rather by what God can do through us. When Nehemiah heard the plight of his people, you've heard me say this many times throughout Nehemiah, when he heard the plight of his people, he sat. He wept, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed himself into serving God. Remember it was Nehemiah that heard these things that precipitated that response. Our these things ought to catapult us into serving God. We don't stop and think about it. It is our natural response to what Jesus has done for us. Scripture says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Hebrews chapter 6. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul described all the believers in Corinth as he wrote, we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. All working and serving together and accomplishing God's purpose. Purpose is together. Each one of us are an important part of the body. No exclusivity, no exemptions. Each one of us doing what we're asked to do. How is God glorified when we serve? Serving is our worship response to God. It is to do what he says, when he says, his way, expecting nothing for self in return. Well, that's not natural, Ross. Well, it's what God wants us to do. He wants us to serve in a way that directs attention to himself. It is the kind of serving, too, that results from constantly receiving from God. 1 Peter chapter 4 explains this best. It says, whoever serves Let it be as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. You hear that? Let it be as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So it's not something we do in our own strength, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Marvelous. The true litmus test for serving is what occurs in our heart when we serve someone else, when we've given time away, when there's been a financial sacrifice and we've done something for another person, or we're asked to volunteer for something. The true litmus test is, what expectation have we carried in our hearts of getting something back? I'm only going to do this. I'm only going to do this for Aiden if he gives me something back. I'm only going to cook him a meal as long as he promises to cook me back a meal. That's not the idea of serving. Serving in the right spirit is, we give away, and that's it. As our worship response to God. When we're genuinely serving God and others in a right spirit, we're able to do stuff and literally leave it there with God, trusting Him to do what He wills, because serving is our gift to Him. There it is, God. Serving is our gift to Him. Nehemiah's vision in chapter 11 was to restore Jerusalem to a vibrant, worshiping center that would attract people. And they needed leaders, volunteers, workers to enable that. So again, like one or two of the other chapters in Nehemiah, what could be viewed as an unspectacular passage is actually invaluable in terms of its lesson to us in commitment and willingness to serve. Whoever we are in this room, I said before, so much gifting and ability. Whoever we are and whatever we can bring, we have a contribution to make. Whatever we do and however we serve, we do it for the glory of God. There's a very clever young guy named somebody else. There's nothing this guy can't do. He is busy from morning till way late at night just substituting for you. You're asked to do this or you're asked to do that, and what is your ready reply? Get somebody else to do that job. He'll do it much better than I. So much to do in this weary old world, so much and workers so few. And somebody else, all weary and worn, is still substituting for you. The next time you're asked to do something worthwhile, just give this ready reply. If somebody else can give time and support, my goodness, so can I. Amen. As you think about serving, just to conclude this morning, I want to remind us all of who ultimately the model for serving is. Who the Apostle Paul describes in his letter to a church at Philippi like this: do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. That's the model. That's the model. The greatest battle we have in serving God and serving others is me, is self. Imagine how strong our involvement in church and other community groups and opportunities could look like if we could get that. And I think that's the main reason Jesus said that to follow him, we must deny ourselves. That's right. Doing what I want and pleasing self can't coexist with following Jesus. Did we hear that? Doing what I want and pleasing myself can't coexist with following Jesus. These people who went through the waters of baptism this morning, under the water, saying, no, the old life, the old self is gone. Up out of the water, this is the new self. Determined, committed to following Jesus in a new life. Marvelous. Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Serving is to give ourselves away for the sake of Jesus and for others. Like in the text this morning, will you be the one commended because you made the decision to serve? Will you be the one blessed because you made the decision to serve? Let's stand together this morning. We're going to conclude there, but if you want some prayer for healing, if you want prayer this morning for a tough challenge that you're facing right now, we'd like nothing more than to join with you and support and love you and encourage you in prayer this morning. So myself and Karen and one or two others will be down here just ready to spend that time with you if that's what you'd like. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you for this morning. We have seen your hand at work here among us this morning. We thank you again, Lord, for the five folk who went through the waters of baptism. We pray, guard their hearts, guard their minds, watch over them, bless them, encourage them, help us to be an encouragement to them too, Father, we pray. And for us, Lord, when it comes to serving, help us to once again this morning, Lord, be captured anew by the enormity of all that you have done for us in the person of Jesus, so that our natural response is, yes, Lord, I will serve you there. Yes, Lord, I'll do that without hesitation. Be our love again, Lord Jesus. Show us again this morning what it is to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Father, I pray your blessing upon each person gathered here, each family represented here, Lord. And so go with us now as we serve you faithfully in the world, Lord. Not of the world, but in the world. Lord, help us to be led by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Go well. Do stay around and join us for some morning tea as well and fellowship.